Go to the Ephesians 5:33, please. There are a couple of words, fancy words for that matter, all these celebrities use whenever they go through these divorces. What are they? Irreconcilable differences. It sounds like the lawyers would use this word, don't you think? I don't believe that these people have any idea what to do when it comes to marriage. And they have no idea, and they have no desire to keep their marriage going. They don't want to put out effort. There's no lasting commitment because they change their spouses like they change clothing. There are some other excuses people use when they're married and when they're divorced. Well, here's some of the list. She married him because he was such a strong man. She divorced him because he was such a dominating pig. He married her because she was so fragile and petite. He divorced her because she was so weak and helpless. She married him because he knows how to provide good things. She divorced him because all he thinks about is business. He married her because she reminds me of my mother. Not a good thing. He divorced her because she is getting more like her mother every day. She married him because he was happy and romantic. She divorced him because he was shiftless and fun-loving. He married her because she was steady and sensible. He divorced her because she is boring and dull. My wife told others once about me that I am a model husband. You know, my English is not good, so I had to ask some dictionary. I inquired the dictionary what the model means. It said a small imitation, not real thing. Is this supposed to be a compliment, honey? This morning, we are going to study two very important subjects, marriage and divorce. And I'm going to cram both of them in the 35-minute teaching. I know it sounds crazy, but let's try it. Let's start with a prayer first. Heavenly Father, marriage is designated by you, instituted by you. For people to live in harmony, husband and wife. But in this sinful world, with a sinful nature that we have, we perverted your marriage, your institution, the basic institution of society. Father, let us glean your wisdom from your word, that we may live in marriage the way you designate, the way you plan, so that we may honor your name. And for those who are not married yet, Father, we are asking you that you engraved this truth, this wisdom into their heart. So when they are ready for marriage, let them do the things the way you want, not the way we did and made a mistake. And we pray for the President Obama, whatever it takes to get his attention, that he may come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Your arms not too short and a person is outside of your reach. So we're asking in the Holy Spirit to reach out to him, that he may turn his heart toward you. And we pray for our troops, law enforcement personnel, and firefighters. And we are asking you to keep them safe, and especially the one who are in the harm's way. You bring them back to their families, to their home, to their friends, safe and sound. And we're especially lifting up our congregation, those who are firefighters and law enforcement. We're asking you to watch over them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 33 of chapter 5, please. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that She respects her husband. You see, the cultivating marriage is not by emotion, but the commitment to one another and total obedience to the Lord. Get that? The two key words is the commitment and obedience to the Lord. Without that, you cannot have a lasting marriage. The main reason for such a high divorce rate comes from the idea you only stay in the marriage as long as you feel love for your spouse. In this everything instant culture, meaning of till death do us apart does not ring in people's heart. As long as the spouse make you feel good or beneficial to that person, they would stay in the marriage. But if there is a new or the seemingly better deal, they will jump off the ship and go into the different way. Some says, this is actual quote from some celebrity said, loving feelings should come naturally in a relationship, so if you have to work at it, something is wrong. The truth is the opposite. If you truly love someone, you will work hard to keep that relationship going. You understand? In verse 33, we just read, Apostle Paul sums up everything what he said in verse 22 to verse 32. Husbands, to love their wives as Christ loved the church, and love their wives as himself. For wives to submit herself to their husband and respect their husband. So it seems like it's a simple command, but it is impossible. It is very hard to follow. Actually, let me rephrase that. It is impossible to follow the command without the help of the Holy Spirit. You understand? Ruth Graham, Billy Graham's late wife, I quote her. There's another one she said is very good, actually very cute. Somebody asked her when they interviewed her if she ever considered divorcing her husband, Billy Graham. She said, no, I've never thought of a divorce in all these 35 years of marriage. But, she said, I did think of a murder a few times. Whenever I officiate the wedding ceremony, I get to have a best seat in the house. I get to see everybody's facial expression. Starting with the bridegroom, who's standing next to me and on the left side, and in his tuxedo, he's about to pass out because he cannot breathe enough. He cannot find the oxygen in the air. And then bride coming down the aisle, walking out from the door, and in her beautiful dress, glowing and beaming. And of course, the bride's mother, she's smiling and crying at the same time because she's losing her baby girl and she's so happy for her. And then there's the bride's father. He's walking her down the aisle, but he has one line to remember and recite. But he cannot remember that line, so he's trying to repeat that thing. Her mother, four words in the one sentence. Her mother and I. How bad is that? There's a story about that. Officiating pastor asked the bride's father, who gave this woman to be married to this man? He was so nervous, he said, my mother and I. Everybody laughed, except his wife. So he kind of sheepishly, he sat down next to his mother / wife. I bet it was a long way home for that man. Then I give out a short message. And to this starry-eyed, lovey-dovey, ooey-gooey couple, they're looking at each other with that love in their eyes. And I tell them, now you look at each other with all that love in your eyes. But there will be a day when you look at each other with that wondering, regret, and you're thinking, why did I ever marry to this jerk? And you will come to that day. And it's going like from Hunka Hunka Burning Love to the heartbreak song. That is when your commitment start to love one another till death do you part. Commitment is a decision to have abundant marriage God desires. Regardless of the circumstance or whether you think your spouse is doing his part or her part. Because your marriage is unbreakable covenant before God. Let me emphasize unbreakable covenant before God. Ancient Hebrew culture understanding covenant is not a contract. Contract can be broken by one side saying, I'm done. But the covenant is a different story. It's a binding, permanent agreement, just like the covenant that God made with us. We often let our feeling guide our actions. We are actually built for the other way around. Our Creator Jesus Christ has designed us so that we love another person with our action, not our feeling. It inevitably will follow. Am I making sense to you? The root of most of marital problem is sin. The root of all sin is selfishness. Submission to Christ, to one another, is the only way to overcome selfishness. For when we submit, the Holy Spirit can fill us and enable us to love one another in a sacrificial, sanctifying, and satisfying way, the way Christ loved the church. Think about it. What wife would not submit to her husband who loved her as Christ loved the church, and as much he loved her as much as he loved himself? Sacrificially, tenderly, and purely. And what wife would not respect a husband who followed Christ's gentle servant leadership? Amen, ladies? As I mentioned before, about 20-some years ago, Karen and I had trouble in our marriage. Our marriage was on the rock. By the way, I have this book in our bookstore. I mentioned this to you, Love Life. I highly recommend to get it. It's an excellent book, yeah. By Dr. Edwitt. We were in this difficult time in our marriage because I was working way too many hours. Because we were up to eyeball in debt. We finally came to the point where she didn't want to be with me anymore. Did she have a biblical ground to divorce me? No, she didn't. But then again, we were spiritually immature. But did she feel unloved? Yes, absolutely. I was a plain jerk that I did not meet her spiritual need. I did not care for her feeling. Did I provide the things for her? Yes. But did I provide what she needed? No. I was not a godly husband. I was there, but I wasn't there. Am I making sense to you? The Lord had to teach me how to love my wife, how to love my bride. He used the Bible and used the Bible and this book to explain what the Bible says, step by step. And there are many great lessons in this book. But there's one lesson that has stuck with me. That is the give your spouse best, your best. B-E-S-T. B stands for bless, E stands for edify, S stands for share, and T stands for touch. Bless, edify, share, and touch. Let's look at them closely. First one, bless. Bless your spouse with your word constantly without lying. Look for something good he or she does, even if it takes a while because there are so few. You know, if my wife can choose to list all the bad things that I do, she needs a computer Excel spreadsheet because there are so many. But she chooses to find the good things about me. So do the same thing. Choose to look for good things in your spouse instead of bad things. One of the ways to do it is send a love note. There are a lot of cards, the cheapy love note you can find at the Walmart. $1.50, you can find a good one. Or give a flower, a long-stem rose, once in a while. Not any particular occasion, just out of blue. And she may ask, what's this for? And you say, just because. Just because I love you. And you may say, well, we don't have a whole lot of money. Then cut out the daisy on the street and give it to her. You are expressing your love for her. Am I making sense? And the little love note in his lunch pail. To keep your marriage brimming with love in the loving cup, when you're wrong, admit it. When you're right, shut up. Don't brag about it. I'm right, you're wrong, and. Don't do that. There are 14 sincere words that make a marriage work. That is, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me, I love you, here's the oldest but goodest, yes dear. Let's say, everybody say it together, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me, I love you, yes dear. Use them in your marriage. Second one is edify. Edify means build up. Build up. Build each other up with your word in front of your spouse, especially to others. Never, never talk down your spouse or about him or her to others. Tell others how you are blessed to have your spouse. And pray for your spouse to be what the Lord wants that person to be, not you want that person to be. When God answers your prayer, He's going to work on you first. Work on your heart first. When He does, sometimes it can be brutal, sometimes it can be painful, but it's worth it. Your spouse is worth keep going through that. Third lesson I learned is share. Share your spouse's desire as your desire. I didn't say share your desires as your spouse's desire. Husband, be attentive to what your wife's telling you. If you're watching TV, reading a newspaper, whatever you're doing something and she's talking to you. The first thing you do, close it, put it down, look at her in her eyes, and listen. Remember the Geico commercial? I know there's a lot of weird Geico commercials. This one really made me laugh because it's so true. Wives came into the kitchen area and the dining room area. She is looking at herself like this with a new dress. Honey, do I look fat? And the guy is reading a newspaper. You betcha. I thought, somebody's going to die that night. Husband, ladies, it doesn't matter whether it's a man or a woman. Most of the time, we don't listen. Listen to your spouse. Half of your marriage problem will be gone by simply listening. Have a frequent date night. You don't have to go to expensive restaurant to make it special. Just be with your spouse, without your kid, without your grandkids. And you may say, well, we are too old to have a date night. Really? Do you think your marriage is so strong and because you've been married so long that it'll never fall apart? I've seen people who have been married 40 years, their marriage go down the drain because they didn't cultivate their marriage. Choose to be romantic. Choose to be sensitive to each other. Marriage is like riding a bike uphill. You constantly have to pedal, otherwise it will go down and it will go down fast. Understand? Understand? Okay. Stay with me. The last one is touch. I'm not talking about sexual touch. I'm talking about physical gesture. It might be winking at each other across the room, smiling, or when you pass by, squeezing shoulder, squeezing hand, letting each other know that you love and care about that person. If you're thinking, okay, if I do all this, bless, edify, share, and touch for a week, our marriage will be perfect in a week. No. Do you know it took 3 years for my wife to really believe that I was a changed person? 3 long years. So after 3 years, I stopped doing that. No, I didn't. I continued. And I'm still doing it. Because I want my woman, my bride to remember that I love her, I care for her. If you're struggling in your marriage, listen, if you're, I don't know where you are in your marriage. If you're struggling in your marriage, don't you ever, ever seek counsel or advice from unbelievers. I don't care how smart they are. They will give you unbiblical lesson, unbiblical advice. They will most likely, they will tell you, dump that jerk or dump that witch. And go find somebody else. Bad advice. Speaking of finding somebody else, let's talk about divorce. A person stuck in an unpleasant marriage thinks that there are only two options. Stay in the marriage and be miserable. Go through divorce, be happy. Logical, right? Sounds logical. No. Absolutely not. The reality differs. Divorce often creates something, the problems that never existed before. Do you know what they are? Child custody problem, alimony problem, and heartbreak. Here's what the Lord says about the divorce. Go to the Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, please. Malachi is located in the last book of the Bible. Malachi 2:16. For the Lord God of Israel says that He, what? He hates. The true definition of this particular word in Hebrew is more of despise with a passion. Not just hate. God despises divorce. For it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously. Divorce was never seen as a preferred or easy option in marriage, in your marriage. The Hebrew word translated divorce has its root idea of the hewing off or cutting apart. It's an amputation of that which is one flesh. I made a paper doll. Here's my paper dolls. And you may say, is that best you can do? So, well, it's a SpongeBob SquarePants. That's why it's a square. And the Bob and the Denise. They love each other. So they got married. And they had 3 kids. See? Here's a Chance, Will, Mark. And they got married. And then they decided, We don't want to marry anymore. I want divorce. Yeah, I want divorce too. So they're going to go through divorce. And they said, well, kid will be fine. Really? Really? Kids are not fine. Kids want them, their mom and dad. Kids emotionally get damaged. Eventually, some go in the wrong way. In verse 16, this gives us the clearest comment from the lips of God. He hates divorce. Marriage is a physical union, one flesh, and it can be broken by physical causes. There are three. Number one is death. Number two is sexual sin. Number three is a desertion. Let's start with the death mentioned in Romans chapter 7, please. Romans chapter 7, verse 2. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. For if her husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. That's one cause. Second cause is sexual sin. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, please. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality marries another, commit adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. Is that clear enough for you? By the way, that's not somebody, it's not J.K.'s word, it's a Jesus' word. And the Word of God has what? Final authority. You cannot argue with this. And you cannot say, well, I disagree. Really? You disagree with God? Guess who's right? Third cause, desertion. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 15. But if the unbeliever departs, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases. But God has called us to peace. If unbeliever, you married to unbeliever, and he or she said, adios, I'm done. You are free to be remarried. God's original intent was that one biological man, one biological woman be devoted to each other in marriage for one lifetime. It's sad that I had to say it that way. Divorce for the reason other than what I just gave you in the scripture, even though legal, it grieves the Holy Spirit at the heart of God and being disobedient. We had a woman in our congregation. I said had. She's no longer here, so you don't need to look around. This woman, she didn't want to be married because she liked somebody else. And she wanted to get involved with this person, so she departed from, she actually pretty much said, I'm done with you, to her husband, walked away. But she couldn't do it here because she's been convicted by the Holy Spirit from the message that comes from this pulpit. Do you know what she did? Instead of repenting and going back to her husband, she decided, I'm leaving. She left this church and went to another church. She's forgetting one thing. God is omnipresent God. No matter where you go with that sin. In our 13-year service in our church, I've seen several people who said, well, I don't want to stay here because your message is convicting me. My message doesn't convict you. The Word of God convicts you. How can you run away from God? Guess what? You only get tired by running away. Haven't you heard that thing? You can run. You only die and get tired. Don't try to run away from God. If you're going through difficulty in your marriage, deal with it. Make it right in the sight of God. So am I condemning anyone who went through a divorce, but you are married now? No. If you're married, you're happily married, make that marriage to be the best marriage in the world by following God, being obedient to God. I have four applications for you. Number one, commitment to stay in your marriage is a decision. Get that. Decision. To have abundant marriage God desires, regardless of the circumstance or whether you think your spouse is doing his or her part, because your marriage is an unbreakable covenant before God. It's not a contract. It's not something you can walk away. When you walk away without a biblical ground, you become adulterer or adulteress. Second application, give your spouse your best. What are they? Bless, edify, share, and touch. Let's recite that one more time. Bless, edify, share, and touch. Best. Give your wife, give your husband your best. Third application, biblical divorce is not a mandatory, but it's an option that God allows. What am I talking about? Some people's marriage, one spouse committed adultery, and the other person decide to forgive that person, and they stay in the marriage. More power to them. God bless them. It's not a mandatory. It's an option. Fourth application. What counts in making happy marriage is not so much how compatible you are, but how you deal with incompatibility. Spoken by the Leo Tolstoy, 19th century Russian author, well said. Let's stand up and pray.